I'm Akhil Ahmed. I'm the head of religion at the BBC, and I'm a professor at Middlesex University. Well, it's very interesting. I mean, if you use the Ottoman Empire as an example, I mean, it's a very big empire. It's, you know, 500 years. So it's not, it had different elements within those 500 years. But one of the things that we can look to as Muslims and people around the world, full stop, and Europeans as well, is to look at the tolerance that it had at particular stages, not at all stages, but at certain stages, and particularly to look at Sarajevo as a city, to look at Istanbul as a city, there was, and Jerusalem, and to look at the fact that when people talk about the amount of Arabian Jews that were living in the Middle East and how they had to leave to go to the State of Israel, we never ask the question, what were they doing there in the first place? They were there because the Ottomans invited them in. There were reasons why people in Eastern Europe and the reason in the Middle East who were Christians remained as Christians is because the Ottomans didn't ask them to convert on the numbers that would have happened in other parts of the world. So whilst they were never perfect, there were elements of them that we all can learn from. Whether or not we think it was right how they behaved, the thing is they were multicultural, in the sense that you didn't all have to be of one faith, but you had to subscribe or believe in one thing. And for them, that was Ottomanism. And as long as you believed in that, you had an identity. And that identity was not dependent on nationalism and was not dependent on faith. And I think that's one of the things that we have forgotten about in the last 100 years, the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever you want to describe it as. We have forgotten what the things that we should, that should bind us together. You know, countries like Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Pakistan, wherever you come from, you know, just because you have a different faith or maybe even speak a different dialect or whatever, the fact of the matter is your humanity and your identity, as is it that shallow and small that you can throw it all away simply because somebody prays to another god? And I find that's the thing that we could learn from the Ottomans and the and what they gave us. They gave us just that belief that religion wasn't necessarily the defining thing and you all had to be the same. It's more complicated than that, because I think if I was in parts of, you know, Iraq, Syria, and I'm living under the what can only be described as fascism of ISIS or Daesh or whatever we're calling them this week, or if I was living under the fascism of many, many brutal regimes as well, I think I may want airstrikes to get rid of them. So I don't think we can simply, you know, dismiss it, as there is a need to make people feel safe. If you go to, you know, Hatay in Turkey, or if you go to, you know, Syria or Iraq or Jordan and all these places, you know, people are in need of help. So they do need to be helped in the short term. Long term, of course, you're right. We all have to understand, whatever our faith or background or whatever it is, that there is diversity in all of us. So there is diversity within Islam. There is diversity within Western countries as well. There is just diversity, full stop. So yes, we have to be able to educate people, not to say you're wrong, to turn around to some of these jihadi type people, to the Daesh, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and say you're wrong, that's not also the answer either. That's to say, you know, what you believe in isn't right necessarily, but you're not, it doesn't make you wrong, it's what, how you're behaving. Is that really having a dialogue to explain to them, you know, just because you believe in a certain thing doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be imposed on other people. And that level of diversity is what's causing all the trouble. I have nothing in common with these people in ISIS and Al-Qaeda, etc. I don't go around killing people. I don't go around imposing my values and my religion or my culture on somebody else. And that's what they do. They are cultural fascists. And, you know, I can accept that. I can accept that they're different to me. I don't necessarily, but the thing is, they and other people, and they're not alone, other people kind of accept that they are different to them. And I think, and that's what we've lost. We've lost this ability to say, to treat everybody equally. And that's why they are the extremity of people who feel my values are not as equal as somebody else's values. And it's a real shame that that extremity manifests itself in something as abhorrent as what they are. But if you peel it all back many, many layers, what they say is what a lot of people may feel, which is not necessarily that they agree with how they behave, but that they feel disempowered and they don't feel equal to other people around them. But you know, but there's a very important distinction when you say that, because actually that's not true. because there are thousands of mosques in Britain, and we can all pick one or two idiots, and we can also pick, you know, I go to mosques all my life. I've never heard somebody talk about beheading. I've never heard somebody talk about, you know, marrying off into slavery 9-year-old, 10-year-old girls for Yazidi community. So I think when we say things like that, we have to be careful about the weight we give to a few individuals. Do they exist? Of course they do. Do they exist in Turkey? You bet they do. Do they exist all over the world? Yes. Do they exist in other faiths? Yes. The fact of the matter is, all faith, because of that diversity, has people who say things which are crazy. The problem we have right now is people are acting on that craziness. And it's not so much that people are not are saying it. Saying it is bad, is wrong, I agree, and we should eradicate it. And I made programs about trying to do that. When you do it, now that's the issue. And I think it's often said this, and this is the point about, you know, there are 1.345 billion Muslims in the world, 30,000 ISIS soldiers from, you know, foreign jihadis, etc. Even if you add them all up, you know, from a statistical point of view, it's minuscule. And it's the same with, if you were to say to me, imams in Britain who are saying things that are directly the same as ISIS, it would be statistically minuscule. That's not to say that it doesn't exist, but actually I think the weight that we put onto some of these things does not help. I think that, you know, life is life. People just get on with life. And dependent on where you are, there have been very good times, very bad times. You know, even in my own short existence, you know, growing up in the northwest of England, I've seen higher employment, and I've seen the regeneration of the city that I grew up in. You know, I've seen countries go from one extreme to the other. I was a member of the anti-apartheid movement, and then I saw Nelson Mandela leave, and I've not seen South Africa crumble. You know, anything is possible. And that's the fact of the matter, is that we shouldn't despair, because things go in cycles, things go round and round, and who knows what's around the horizon. You know, I spend a lot of time in the Middle East as well, on business and personal travel as well, and I've seen real significant change. And you know what? It's not all negative change. But let's not get away from the fact that there are some horrible places and there are some horrible times. And Syria is a great example. You know, we used to make, there was a time when I was studying and when I first started work, Syria, you know, under Bashar al-Assad, whatever, Syria was this, you know, bastion of kind of like, you know, autocratic kind of rule, and it was a police state and all these kind of things. And then when I was sending people to work in the lab 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, they were just wandering around filming freely. And now look at Syria. It's an absolute basket case because of the civil war that's raging between so many different people in that particular country. And I've been to the refugee camps and I've seen the devastation caused on individuals. All of that has happened in my working life. It's gone from, you know, fascist state to some level of kind of openness through to a civil war. You know what? It'll probably be something else in 5 to 10 years. And I think that's what always happens. Everything moves around. Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. And whether or not we all get on with each other, we do, we don't, we do. You know, it's just the way we are as human beings, you know. And as you said, you know, we've all been made to get to know each other. That's why we've all been made differently. And effectively, I can't answer whether or not something will work or not work in the long run. What I do know is that everywhere I've been, I've got on with people. And everywhere I've been, there's probably people who I've not got on with. And you know what? I think we can all probably say that.